You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Good morning. Good morning, church. It's so good to see you here. So good that we can come and open up the word of God together. My name is Bin, for those who don't know me. I just thought before I open up the Word of God and just unpack with you from the Proverbs, I made a mistake two weeks ago. I said something wrong, and I thought I better just clear this, because I don't want to be starting any gossip or any rumors. And so I just thought, again, you know, I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect human being. So a couple of weeks ago, I said someone loaned the church $50,000, and then that person was meant to receive the $50,000 from church, but that person, in their generosity, just gave the amount to the church. I am terribly sorry. I got my information wrong. I just kind of got excited. I saw $50,000 towards church, and I just got excited without really reading the information carefully. If you heard that last 2 weeks ago, and you thought that I was trying to manipulate you, please, that was not my intention. What I actually found out through the executive leadership team was that another person just kind of felt the love for this church, and they just generously gave the church $50,000. And so to those people who have been so generous in loaning money and blessing and giving our church your tithes and offering, I want to say thank you so much. I still do not know who you are. I refuse to find out who you are. I know that I'm very biased as an individual, that if I know it's you and you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I will be there to serve you, because I don't want to lose you. But I'd rather not know who you are, so that if you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not leaving my bedroom. No, I will be there. I will be there. So again, my sincere apologies if I got the information out, because the executive leadership team pulled me in straight away and said, "Pastor, we need to have a chat." And I'm like, "What did I do wrong?" And they explained it to me. So yeah, my sincere apologies. Hey, last week, weren't we blessed with Pastor Gracia from, Voice of Hope Church? She was such a blessing, and she got Sun Life Church talking, right? You guys were talking and speaking back more than you have done over the last 10 years, you know? Like, I went home and my kid said to me, "Dad, you've got to preach like her. You've got to, like, have the energy." And I'm like, okay. So I'm going to try. All right, and I want to hear some amens and talking back. I'm going to change the direction of our church. I've got people doing, "No, don't do that, Pastor. Just be yourself." All right, thank you. I'll be myself. Anyhow, we were so blessed. We were so blessed, and it was so encouraging to have the amazing ladies on stage with their wisdom, and that the panel and the gifts and the flowers. It was a great morning. So thank you so much for being part of that service. And I do pray that God would use me. God would just increase my energy level and enthusiasm to the next level this morning as I preach the Word of God, so that you can walk away and say, "Oh yeah, Pastor Bin, it's okay. He's good as Pastor Gracia. Not as good as her, but he's getting there." Okay, that's all I want. Now, we've been going through the Proverbs, yeah? And what I want to do this morning is go into the Proverbs 10, and give us wisdom to better follow Jesus. Amen? Because remember, if you are a Christian, you're a disciple. If you're a disciple, you're an apprentice. You're following your master. All right? And if you are a Christian, you have to be like Christ. Like, if you're not like Christ, then I'm not quite sure what you're doing. Because an apprentice, right, will live a lifestyle where if people looked at that person or that group of people, they can say that, yes, the lights are very dark now. I'm not quite sure what's going on. Okay, great. They can look at the individual and say, yep, that person or that group of people is following this master. Yeah. So for us as disciples or apprentices of Jesus, we have to live a lifestyle that direct people to Jesus. If people are looking at us and our lifestyle is pointing towards another master, And that master is the master of this world, or that master is Sun Life Church, or that master is our careers or ourselves, then I'm not quite sure what are we doing. Amen. So we look into the Proverbs, and we know the Proverbs are what? Short sayings, right? The Proverbs are short, wise saying, and the author, most likely King Solomon, is inviting us to take on these wise saying. And it's actually not wisdom from Solomon or the wise writers, but rather God's wisdom. And I think, right, if you want to follow Jesus, who is God in the flesh, you might as well follow the Proverbs. Amen. Now, Proverbs 10, that's where we are this morning. It's the beginning of all these short sayings. All right, let me kind of not confuse you. Chapters 1 to 9 is the interaction between the father and the son and wisdom as being like a mother. But when you get to chapter 10 to 30, they're all short sayings. And so when you're reading these Proverbs, sometimes it's very hard to package them like how we do expositional preaching. But I can safely say that if you look at chapter 10, right, the central theme is this. Now, you can get your app out right now because it's in the app. The wise use their words or their mouth or their tongue well. The foolish do not use their words well. Let me show it to you in the text. So if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 10. Let's look at that chapter. Look at verse 11. The mouth of the righteous or the wise is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. You see that? Short saying, contrasting between the wise and the foolish. Look in verse 18. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips, their words, right, and spreads slander is a fool. They're foolish. Look in verse 19. A sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. You see that? Verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. Can you see that? How about verse 21? The lips of the righteous nourishes many, but fools die for lack of sense. How about verse 31? From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. And the last verse, verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what finds favor, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. See, the central theme in chapter 10 is all about using words, your mouth, your tongue. And our words have power. If you think about the very first account in Genesis, the very first thing that God did was he spoke words. And he spoke words and things came to life. He brought order from a world that was chaotic. It was the very word of God that created things. There's power in words. Jeremiah, the prophets, right? In Jeremiah 23, 39, look at the words of God. Is not my word like fire? There's power in fire. You look at a bushfire and you see there's power, the raging fire, declares the Lord. My word is like a hammer. You see that? There's power in a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Now, the prophet Isaiah, right? He says this in chapter 55, verse 11. So is my word. This is the word of God that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire. You see, the word of God, it accomplishes the things that it desires and achieve the purpose for which I send it. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to give us wisdom in using our words. And when I talk about words, I'm extending it to what we type, what we write, what we comment on social media, what we blog, because let's be honest, the reality is today, what I notice is that we do more talking with our fingers Because a lot of you, you're chatting on WhatsApp. If you don't know WhatsApp is, it's something that Sun Life Church, I think, invented, because everyone is on a WhatsApp chat group at Sun Life Church. You're always chatting, or you're emailing, or you're commenting something on social media. We communicate a lot with our fingers. So I want to extend that to not just our words, but what we write and what we type and what we blog and what we comment. Amen? And so what I need to do is I need to go to James. James in the New Testament, this is the brother of Jesus. He spends a whole section on words, tongue, mouth. And it's in James chapter 3. So it's a good time now to turn to the New Testament. Go with me now to James chapter 3. If you have your app, turn your app on now. There are three things I want to encourage you with words. They are: words can direct. Number two, words can destroy. It can be destructive. And number three, words can defy, which means to glorify and praise. They're the three things that I want to unpack with us this morning. So let me pray, invite the Holy Spirit to come and teach us as we look in wisdom in using words as we follow Jesus. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me be with my words to communicate effectively your word as we study James 3 and Proverbs 10 together. I pray, God, that we would leave here knowing how best to use our words so that we follow Jesus better, that the way we speak, people would know that we are following Jesus as our master. So would you help us now, Holy Spirit, be our great teacher right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready to go? Yeah. All right. Words can direct. Go with me to James chapter 3, verses 3-5. When we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. Let's stop right there. You know, in ancient times, the horse is considered as the most powerful animal because it can carry load, it can carry people. Horses are used for battle, for wars, all right? And so what James is saying right here is that this powerful animal, you can direct it, you can steer and turn the whole animal by putting a small bridle or a bit in its mouth. And if you are into equestrian, you know what I'm talking about. You can actually turn the horse with these little small metal rings. He uses another analogy of a ship. In ancient time, the ship back then was considered as the greatest people mover. You could move hundreds of people. This mighty ship, which is controlled by wind with the sail, but it is directed by what? A very small rudder. Can you see that? And there's got some pictures right there for you to see. And so what James is saying is this, he's making this point here, is that the words that we use have power and it can direct people down different paths. You know, and if we look at Jesus, the life of Jesus, he's always directing people down the path of his Father. You study Jesus, it's always Jesus talking about God the Father, God's kingdom, God's mercy, God's righteousness, God's good news, God's gospel. He's directing everyone to the path of God. You know, Jesus dealing with the woman caught in adultery, you know that, he's directing towards the love of God. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, right, and there was a thief next to him, right, his words were directing this thief to the love of God, that there's still salvation for you. When Jesus saw Levi at the tax collection booth, his words were directing Levi towards God's love. When Jesus was reinstating Peter, who denied Jesus three times, his words were directing Peter towards the love of God. And if you and I are people who are called to follow Jesus, our words must direct people to the goodness of God. And that's what I see right here. We must be ready to bring people to the hope that we have in God. People who are so far from God, people who are drowning in this world, our words can direct them to the hope we find in God. I love what Peter, the Peter who denied Jesus three times, look what he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. always be prepared. And look what Timothy 2, which is Paul writing to Timothy, he says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encouraging with great patience and careful instruction. These two verses here, church, what's the common theme? Look carefully. Does anyone know? It's the state of preparedness. We have to prepare ourselves, live a lifestyle where we are so close to Jesus so that when someone comes along with a problem, we know how to direct them towards the solution, who is Jesus. You know, I've got this a beautiful picture here, next picture here of the lovely Bree. See, Bree is the winner of My Kitchen Rules. On the left-hand side, that's her, and I think it's Jessica. They won episode, 7 or 8. Well, that's Bree and Ben, Barista Ben and Bree. When I was in Noosa, I was working with Bree. Yeah, and so Bree felt really blessed that she was working with a celebrity chef. I mean, celebrity barista. That's me right there. But let me tell you why I placed Bree's photo there. Bree had this gift, right, where she had this style of cooking where it was substituting ingredients. I didn't know what it was, but as I watched her cook and how she was cooking meals for me, she would know how to substitute something that's lacking with what she had. Like, let's say she wanted to do, I don't know, I'm making this up, right, like a bacon burger, but she had no bacon, strips of bacon. She could find something to substitute the lack of bacon, and the product would still taste the same. And if you go to her house, she lives in this beautiful place where she's got all her own herbs and veggies and some animals, and she knows how to substitute whatever she needs to give the end product, which is exactly what you wanted. And I asked her, I said, how did you do this? How did you learn this technique? She goes, it's just me just constantly understanding flavors and textures and just, you know, being surrounded by food. And the more I did this, I was ready to cook whatever I need to cook. So when we're in the cafe and we're lacking this sauce or we're lacking this herb, I know what would work well and I know how to play with flavors so that when they taste it, it was exactly the same thing. I was ready. I was prepared. I think for you and I, the more we enjoy Jesus, the more we spend time with Jesus, the more we're in the Word of God, the more we experience Him and we prepare ourselves. So whenever sometimes someone comes along and they are drowning in the despairs of this world, we know what to say. We can direct them to Jesus. A lot of times we are not prepared. A lot of times, you know, we want to direct people to Jesus, but we don't know what to say. You know why? Because we're not prepared. And what we need to do is we need to immerse ourselves and submerge ourselves in the love of Jesus and enjoy Him every day and know that when someone comes knocking with issues of this world, we can direct them with our words to the hope we have in Jesus. Amen. And that's what we need to do. And I tell you right now, there are always situations in our church when someone might lose a family member and they come to us. Where are you directing the hope? Into a self-help book? Into this YouTube clip, or to God Himself. You know, when someone comes with complications with their relationships or financial hardships, or they're having doubts with their faith, where are your words directing them? And if you are submerging yourself and you are preparing yourself, wow, that moment when someone comes, you have the opportunity to use your words to direct them to God Himself. You have that opportunity to point them to the hope that we have in Jesus Himself. Words are so powerful, my friends. And I want to encourage us as a community who follows Jesus that every time we hear someone come to us and they are struggling, may we reach out and we help them with the words that direct them to the great Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what I'm hoping to see in this church here more and more. And we learn to be sensitive, that it's okay in the workforce, it's okay to mention that, hey, I'm a Christian, can I sit down and pray with you? If they say no, that's fine, but they say yes, let's do it. I tell you right now, when you ask someone, can I pray for you, the chance of them saying no is very, very slim. I found in my experience where I'm at the footy club with the boys down the footy club who are so far from God, and I sit there and I say, hey man, can I pray with you? They won't say no. They'll say, yeah, I just need anything. And if it's your God's going to save me, I just want Him. And you pray. And your prayer directs people to the Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. So our words, number one, can direct. You got that? The second thing is that our words can destroy. Oh, it can destroy. Look in verse 5 and 6. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. You need a small spark and the entire forest is set on fire. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire and itself sets on fire by hell. What's that saying that you might have heard growing up? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Have you heard that before? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. I think some words are more harmful than sticks and stones. You break a bone, just go and find Dr. Tao Lim, our amazing doctor. He'll heal you, and in a few months' time, there'll be no pain, right? But some words, let me say, it's going to harm you, and it's going to hurt you for a lifetime. And James says it's like a forest, a big, amazing forest, and all it needs is a small spark, and that spark can destroy an entire forest. I have seen and I have heard wrong words, right, that has destroyed families, communities, relationship, and the church. Small words. And those small words are like the small sparks that destroy an entire forest. Look what Proverbs 12:18 says. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. How about Proverbs 18:21? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The words, the things that come out of our mouth. Have you ever said something and then you kind of grab your tongue metaphorically and say, oh, I shouldn't have said that? Yeah, a lot of nods, yeah, me too. You know, 2 weeks ago, right? I read somewhere, the average guy, I'm speaking to guys now, the average guy, we speak 6,500 words a day. 6,500 words a day. We've got to be very careful because there's a lot of things that we can say in the one single day, right, that can really damage and destroy relationships. Do you understand that, fellas? So be very mindful what you say. 6,500 words, that's a lot. Ladies. I've got to be careful what I say here. I found on average you speak 20,000 words. That's three times more than the average guy. I've got to read my notes here because if I say this wrong, I'm in trouble. You need to be more careful because you are three times more likely to say the wrong thing. I got that sentence out without making a mistake. You know, seriously, there's so much that we say. We type, we communicate every given day. And if we're not careful, we're going to say something that can hurt someone, destroy and break relationships and friendship. Look what Proverbs 10 in this chapter 19, when words are many, 6,500, 20,000, sin is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. That's why sometimes when you are with people, maybe it's best to say less. The less you say, there's a very good chance that you may not slip and say something that is foolish. There's a wisdom there that when you are listening to people, say less and let them do the talking and listen. There's something attractive about letting people speak more and we just listen. What's attractive is that you make them feel important. What also is attractive is that you seem wise because you're not saying anything. And if you have nothing to say, don't say. Just, That's okay. But if you're one of those types where every second sentence you're saying something that's wrong, don't say. Because there's a very good chance that what you say can destroy and damage and hurt people. You know, I think about, say, emails. Before you want to send something, oh, please, just read it again. All right? before, you really want to send that email because that person said something, or that person looked at you in a funny way at church, or that person wore the same dress at the social, whatever. Before you're about to send that message, just stop, read it, maybe park it, go away, and come back and read it again. Because once you press send, I don't think there is a software to, maybe there is, I'm not quite sure. I don't think there's a software to unsend it. And once it's out there somewhere in cyberspace, there's a very good chance when they read it, they've read it in the wrong way. It just happened to me just recently. I sent something where my intention was so pure, but I think because of my grammar or something, the comma or whatever it was is the wrong place, and they read it totally wrong. And so I had to sit down and explain to the person, that's not my intent. We've got to be very, very careful. In the church here, listen carefully. In the church, extremely careful. You know, it only takes a few words to either bring us together or pull us apart. You understand that, right? You know, it only takes a few words of gossip to really destroy this church. And praise God, Sun Life Church, over the last 11 years, we have been such a harmonious, friendly, nice church. God has been so kind to this church. You are so kind. You're so easy to love and serve. And I thank God for you. But I was told in my early days when I planted this church by some wise pastor friends, they said to me, watch out for every 7 years. I said, what do you mean 7 years? Every 7 years, there's always some kind of tension. There's usually a church split because it starts with a bit of gossip and rumor. And I'm like, where did you get the idea from 7 years? Is it a spiritual, super holy number? They said, just watch out. We had our 7th year anniversary and praise God, nothing. I'm like, you're so kind, but I'm watching at 2025 because 2025, we turned 14. So right now, I'm just watching at that year there because I'm praying that nothing happens. But what I do know is that gossip, right, the wrong words, just a few words, it's just like the little spark that destroy an entire forest, you know. And let's be honest, we all love gossip. We all love gossip. I don't know why. It's so attractive, negative information. Or did that really happen? Really? Let's bring that up as a prayer point. Oh, that's shocking. Don't tell me, but please tell me. It's so attractive. We love gossip. And there's something about gossip that we need to understand is that if it takes place, we've got to nip it. We've got to say, no, time out. I don't want to hear this. I don't want anything to do with this. If you've got a problem with that person, hey, let's go there and talk to that person. Let's have a chat with that person and let's help them. But I don't want anything to do with this. Because I know that wrong words, damaging words about communities and leaders and pastors and individuals in this church here, it's like a little spark that can destroy an entire forest. So when you hear gossip and it comes your way, hey, time out. That's not our culture here. I don't want anything to do with that. I know it sounds great. I know it's fantastic. But you know what? If there's someone who's offended you, let's go and have a chat with that person. Let's apply what Jesus taught us in Matthew 18. Let's go with it. Matthew 18, 15 and 16. If your brother or sister sin, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you, if they listen to you, you have won them over. Now, verse 16, but if they will not listen to you, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. You see, don't let words change your heart, because the heart will leave first before you leave. So when you begin to hear something that doesn't sit right, hey, you know what? That doesn't sound right. I'm not saying that's gossip, but that doesn't sound right. Why don't you and I go and speak to that person? Why don't we go and have a chat with that person and help them see what they've done that's wrong, and maybe God will use us to help them with their issue. Or maybe we've read the information wrong. Why don't we do that? And that's the type of culture that we should have here, to use our words well when we feel that, oh, it may be destructive. Because we know that words can destroy, and it can destroy community. And I want us to keep that in mind. God has been so kind in this church here for the last 11 years, and I'm really believing that He's going to continue to bless us, and we're going to keep growing and you know, maturing in Him. But when we know that words are so powerful, it can direct people down to the path towards God's goodness. And we also know it can also what? Destroy people. And if we hear anything that is not wise, let's say, I don't want time out. I don't want anything to do with that. Amen? Okay. Lastly, words can deify, which means to make deity, to glorify, to praise. Look in verse 9 and 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord. and Father. That's God the Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. But brothers and sisters, this should not be. You see the double nature of the tongue? The same tongue can praise God, worship God on Sunday, but the same tongue can curse other people. If you look carefully in the text, what James says is this, is that don't curse people because it's the same as cursing God. Look carefully in the text. He says they're made in God's likeness, God's image. Do you understand that? Let me just sidetrack for 1 second as your pastor here. If you want to treat someone with no respect, remind yourself that that person is made in the image of God. How you treat them is actually how you're treating God. If you have an addiction with pornography, remind yourself that what you are watching, that lady or that man is also made in the image of God. If you want to lose your temper towards an employee or start something that is a rumor or a gossip, remind yourself that that individual is also made in the image of God. And so what James says right here is that how can you praise God with the same tongue that you're cursing someone? During the week, a young adult was saying, Pastor, I'm having this problem where, and exactly this here, I'm having this problem here when I go to my workplace, everyone is just swearing every sentence. And I'm falling to that trap as well because it's just the culture. I know it's wrong. I know I should not be doing that. And I was so proud when that person told me that because I said, that's great. Because the flesh and the spirit, they're raging war. They're at each other. And I said, that's beautiful. That's so good because you're growing to be more like Jesus. And so what James is saying here is that our words should be used to what? Glorify, deify, worship God. And that's why it's important for us that every time we come here on Sunday, we get to practice worshiping God with our words as we sing. You know, in eternity future, we're singing a lot. There's a lot of worship. So every time we come here on a Sunday, we get a chance to practice what we'll be doing forevermore. And when we come here and when we sing, I want us to keep that in mind, that we are singing and we're using our words to lift up the name of Jesus, to glorify God. Look what Psalms 95 verse 1 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Not whisper, but shout, belt it out. Psalm 71, 23, my lips will shout for joy, not whisper. Not mumble. I'm going to shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. Do you know when we sing together on a Sunday, I'm wrapping up right now, there's a two-dimensional effect. The first dimension is when you sing out loud and you sing it well, you unite God's people. We unite each other. I read somewhere that the human being, we're 90% chimpanzees and 10% bees. Hear me out here. 90% of the time, we operate like monkeys. Very selfish, doing our own thing, maximizing our own chances of survival and success and security. It's all me, me, me. But 10% of the time, we operate like bees, working together, busy bees, building up one another, serving one another, being united, being selfless, thinking of others first, only 10%. And the author said this, there's a switch. It's called the hive switch. And you're gonna find what the hive switch is. You turn this switch on, then you're operating like bees. You're united, you're strengthening, you're serving one another. And the author said there's 5 things that most likely would switch. Number one is being part of a sporting team. Come on, when you're part of the mighty Fremantle Dockers and we win, and we are winning this year, praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. West Coast Eagles, you need prayer, right? Lots of prayer. But when we win, oh wow, we are united. Yeah, it's great. So when you're part of a sporting team, it unites us. Next thing is that they say national tragedy. When there's something that is like a bushfire or a flood or the death of, say, like when Princess Diana died or it united England. When we see flooding in Queensland, it unites Australians. That unites, that's a switch. They say dancing. Dancing unites people. And I'm not quite sure what type of dancing. I'm thinking probably K-pop dancing, where there's a lot of them, they're all doing things together, which I'm not gonna try. That unites thing. They say number four, religion. Number five, singing. When we sing, it unites us. It brings us together. It strengthens us. In sports, there's this phrase called the home ground advantage. You know, when you play at home, yeah, and your home ground, and when you score or you kick a goal, what happens is they shout and they sing and they go crazy. And what does that do? It gives you strength, right? And that example doesn't always happen, because if you look at the West Coast Eagles, they're playing at home and they still can't win. But anyhow, that's another story, right? I don't want to talk more about the West Coast Eagles, but I want to. Yeah. Sorry, right? But that's what happens. When we sing and when we praise, the first dimension is that it strengthens us. It unites us. That's why I want to hear you sing. When I hear the person next to me or behind me sing and just belt it out, oh, it unites me, it strengthens me, and I love that. But here's the second dimension here. When we praise God with our mouth, it aligns us with God. Let me explain why. Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he exult over you with loud singing." The word God tells me that God is singing over you and singing over me. And if God is singing, and if you're singing, you're aligned with God. So when you're aligned with God, it helps you follow Jesus better. Sin pulls us out of alignment. Sin pulls us out and leads to confusion and chaos. Singing to God aligns us back with Him. And so when you align with God, as you sing, as you really worship God, you follow Jesus much better. You enjoy God. You hear from God. You operate within God's will. You follow Jesus and you follow God much better. Our words, it can direct, it can destroy, it can deify. Praise God, sing to God, worship God out loud with a loud voice. And when you do that, it unites us, it strengthens us, but it also aligns us with God Himself. And when you align with God, following Jesus is a lot easier. Amen. And maybe for some of us this morning, we don't know God. We're not aligned with God. I want you to know that God loves you. The Bible says right here is that He is what? Loving you. He's singing over you. He's the one who saves you. He wants to save you. He wants you aligned with Him. If you feel so far from God, I want you to know that God loves you. God gave up His Son for you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to follow His Son. He wants you to live the life that you ought to live, a ransom and redeemed life. That's waiting for you. So what I want to do this morning now is give us a chance to align with God. Before we sing later on, we're going to align with God and unite one another. But maybe this morning here, I felt led to really ask if there's anyone here this morning who wants to align with God. With all eyes closed, just to respect people, I'm going to ask this simple question here. Is that maybe right now you are drowning in this world and you are so far from God, and God's word has really spoken to you this morning, and you feel that, yeah, Pastor, I'm one of those person who's so far from God. I want to know Him. I want to align with Him. I want to follow Jesus, and I've never done that before. I might have come here for a few weeks. I might come to this church here, but it was because it's my father or my mother's church. But I'm so far from God. But this day, I want Jesus. This day is the day that I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. I want to know Him. I want to follow Him. I want to be an apprentice, a disciple of Jesus. If that is you this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you to make that decision to follow Jesus. With all eyes closed right now, I'm going to ask this question here. If there's anyone here this morning who do not know Jesus, who is not following Jesus, and you say, well, Pastor, this day, I want to align with God. I want to follow Jesus. You raise your hands right now, and I'll try to identify you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to get you to come up forward here, but I want to know who I'm praying for. So if that is you this morning, if you want Jesus into your life, if you want to align with God, and you say, yep, I want to follow Jesus, I want to be an apprentice of Jesus, can you raise your hands right now? Because I want to see who you are. Is there anyone here this morning who says, yep, Pastor, pray for me. I want to follow Jesus. Are there anyone here? It's just an invitation to follow Jesus, an invitation to have Jesus as your master and you as an apprentice. Is there anyone here this morning? And that's okay. Maybe you do want to, but you don't want to raise up your hand. You can come and talk to me after service, and I want to lead you to knowing Jesus. Let me pray for everyone. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the invitation to use our words wisely. May we not be fools, foolish people with our words, but wise people. Help us to know that we can direct people towards your goodness and your kindness with the words that we have. Remind us of dangers of how words can be so destructive and destroy communities and relationship and even the church. And Lord, may we use our words, oh wow, wow, to deify you, to put you in your place as God, to worship you, to praise you for who you are. Remind us of the dimensions in worship that it unites us and aligns us with you, God. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, why don't you be upstanding with me? Why don't we worship? Why don't we just practice what we've just heard to really worship God aloud? Don't be someone who says, well, worship's not my thing. I don't sing. Worship is not your thing. It's God's thing. It's God's thing. Let's worship Him. Can we do that? Let's do this.